You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Any other announcements? If not, we'll go to the scripture reading, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And Father God, we just want to pray for the blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
I'm still thinking about what we're going to start next in our studies, and you might be in prayer about this. I thought about doing an overview of the Old Testament, take a couple of months and just looking at it quickly and highlight some of the most important people. Could do that by going back to Hebrews and doing a study on the faith chapter, chapter 11, and look at some of those folks. So there's just different things that are going on. We'll see. Lord will lead. I haven't ever worried too much about that in my older age. I did worry about it a lot at some other times, but it's just been so faithful and so trustworthy that I've gotten to the point that I really don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't, but that's fine. You'll get around to it. I'm not talking about the coin either. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time together, your blessing on it. Each heart need might be met. We pray, Lord, that the scriptures and the presentation of them here might speak of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might be honored, you might be pleased. And we thank you for these graces in his name and for his sake. Amen. Well, what is your purpose in life? As you look back 2005, what was your purpose in 2005? As you look forward 2006, what is your purpose? An important thing to ask. I mean, doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. God has a purpose for you. Think about that. God has a purpose for you. You may think it's to eat, drink, and be merry. I mean, and there's some scriptural proof for that, but you've got it wrong. Let's go over there and look at that. Go to Ecclesiastes. In chapter 3, Ecclesiastes, Koheleth, the preacher, he speaks. Verse 13. Let's back up to verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. See, back up in verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every, what's that? Purpose under heaven. Verse 11 again. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God makes from beginning to end. I know that there's no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat, drink, and enjoy the good of all his labor. This is the gift of God. It's not the purpose of God. It's the gift of God. The labor that you have in your hand is the labor of God. It is a gift that's given to you. The eat and the drink that you have is not your purpose in life. Although sometimes we make it our purpose in life. We do. We focus on it. It becomes like Martha. Or we become like Martha, it becomes more important even than the very things that are most important to us. It's not our purpose in life. Let's just jump to the quick. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 4. And let's find out what our purpose in life is. And then what we're going to do in a couple of ways is look at, we're going to look at how do we make ourselves available to that purpose. In chapter 4 of Revelation, verse 11. Memory verse that we have for a lot of our kids, and we need to memorize it too. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. All things were created by Him. But it's not just period at the end of that. It's not only were they created, but they were created for His pleasure. That is your purpose in life. That is the purpose of everything that's been created. If there were a little flower up here and he and I were talking, or she, and she could talk to you or he could talk to you, that little flower would say, you know, God created me. Would you have any doubt about that? I don't think the flower would. God, flower would say, God created me. You know, I'm going to bloom and flower as beautiful as I can for whose purpose? For God's purpose. If you had a bird up here, the bird would say the same thing. If you had a star, if it could speak, the star would say, I was created by God for what purpose? To give Him pleasure. So whatever stars do, that star would do to give pleasure to Him. That is the purpose of all things that God has created. And so you wonder, well, how do I do that? I mean, how do I please God? Tough question. We try to get ahead of the answer by taking things in our own hand and doing it, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. But let me give you that little key that helps you understand it. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You're very familiar with this passage. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know what faith is. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, sometimes when I was thinking, sometimes things really bother me. People I'm dealing with, and I have to turn them over to the Lord and just wait. I'd like to run ahead. And that's part of the problem we get into when we try to find out how are we going to please God, because then we try to take matters in our own hand. We're going to look at that the second time I've said this. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But it's hard for us really to believe in something we can't see. Think about how hard that is. Think about an unbeliever. How hard is it for them to believe in God? God's a spirit. Can't see Him. Can't see Him. But are there not a lot of things that we believe in we can't see? Joy? You see the manifestation of joy sometimes on people's faces. You see love. Not in its form or its presence. You see it in the things that people do. There are a lot of things that are intangible, but we do see them. And it's the same thing with God. We see His manifestation all around us in the creation. We see it even, as it said in Ecclesiastes, even in our own heart, He's put Olam, He's put everlasting in our own heart. Now, God is the only one who inhabits everlasting. He's the only one who inhabits eternity. Because if you take a timeline, and if we draw this line out, okay, just draw it straight out, and we'll put the verse that we read this morning in the beginning on this end of the timeline. And somewhere in the middle, we always put what? The cross. Always, you know, it identifies a time. And then at the end, we usually put the world and it being a part of, you know, being converted over to God in its new heavens and new earth presentation. Now, all along this line, there is another line, and it goes vertically. And this would be eternity. All the way up and all the way down. So that every moment of time, there is still an eternity that God inhabits along that line. Does that make sense? So that at this moment in time, we think that it's pretty much limited. Here on this, over here on the line, somewhere after the cross, but before, you know, the new heavens and new earth. Here is this moment in time, and it is just kind of a little dot on the line. But there really is another line that goes up and down, in which God inhabits, and it is the line of eternity. Can't understand this stuff. You know, this is just, there are people who understand it a lot better than I do, some of you. But it gives us a picture of some of who God is and what He can do. Now, our our focus this morning is, what do I do to please Him? And see, that's where we go sideways. We begin to try to do things. We begin to try to take it in our own power to do it. And there have been those that have. I mean, we're not alone, and by far some greater than us, I would guess. Do you think Moses took things into his own hand when he smote the rock? Paid a penalty for it. But he was a little bit in a hurry. You know, I spoke, come on. Bam. Ah. Moses also, remember, when he became, he thought he'd become a missionary when he was still in Egypt, and he went out and became a murderer, killed the Egyptian, ended up spending 40 years on the backside. There was a cost to that. Abraham, well, here's another great, great historical figure from the Old Testament. Abraham, the promise of a seed, took it in his own hands to accomplish something before it was the time to accomplish it, and took Hagar. And there's still a problem today regarding Ishmael and Isaac. See, the point in that is to remember that timing is much more important to God than time. Timing is much more important to God than time. We think it's now. He says, wait. And if we try to go ahead of Him, Jesus, He was never late. He spent 30 years before He started His ministry, and He was never late. And He said that when He came to do the will or the purpose of His Father. And when it was over, in John chapter 7, well, let's go there. Go back up a little bit. John chapter 17. I'm sorry. John chapter 17, verse 4. He says, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou hast given Me to do. He's never anxious. He was never late. I might have been late in the eyes of humanity. And you know, and that's part of our problem. You know, we do live in this body, and we do struggle with the things that... But, I mean, there's a glory in that, too. I don't want to take away that. I don't want to just say that we have a lot of things in this body that causes us problems. And that's true. You know, we sometimes are ill, and sometimes we're disappointed. You know, physically, mentally, these problems come up. But there's a glory of this body, because it is the body that God has given us, and it is in the image of Him. And we need to be thankful, because there is one who understood all those things, who died for us, who rose for us, and who now lives for us. That's a hard concept to understand. Paul finally came around to it. I've been crucified, he says in Galatians chapter 2. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And that's the key. I am a crucified person. I'm supposed to live my life that way. Every once in a while I try to breathe life back into this old flesh, and that ends up creating trouble. But that's okay too. God will work through that. I think you've got to keep in mind that He's sovereign in all of these affairs and all of these matters. Let's look at His purpose. Are you there in John? Go back over to Romans real quick. Let's look at there's a chapter here, chapter 9. He talks about Isaac and Pharaoh. This comes to my attention. Verse 9. Romans 9:9. He says, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also has conceived by our father Isaac, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And it's written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. There is a purpose that God has for your life, just like there was a purpose He had for Jacob's life and Esau's life. You know, well, wait a minute. Did Esau have a choice in this? Yes, Esau had a choice in this. Look at verse 14. What shall we say then? Is unrighteousness with God? Because he hated Esau? Well, he helps clear that up. In verse 15, he said to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. That's in your life and my life. And as soon as we subject ourselves to the leading of God in your life and my life, then we will experience that joy that comes from having that fulfilled life, knowing that we are in the purpose of God. And it's not always fun. I mean, it is a difficult time. There are those who never get to experience that joy, and it's not because God is unrighteous, nor, as we read on, verse 17, the Scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I, that's God, raised thee up, Pharaoh, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? Now we're looking back at Esau and we're looking back at Pharaoh. For who can resist his will? Now, I've got people in my life that way. I deal with them. I've dealt with them throughout my life. Still deal with some, and it's not my will that's going to ever be accomplished in these things. It's God's will. That's His purpose. That's what I need to line myself up behind, and I need to wait and see His timing in these affairs. Because he says in verse 20, nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Now, I'm not speaking about me, although I get, that's not speaking about me. It's really speaking about Pharaoh. And it's speaking about Esau. And then it's speaking about me kind of picking up their argument. We don't have that. God is sovereign in all these matters. That's why we read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. What a great way to start the year off. In the beginning. Let us remember, in the beginning of this year, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the sovereign master of everything. He's the great potentate. It is. Paul helps us when we get feeble. And we do get feeble because things do happen to us. You're there in Romans. I want you to look at verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 2. But let's read 1 with 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, Paul said it another way in Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. See, it's in that living where the problems begin to kind of boil and fester and rise up. And they try to take a commanding position in our life. And they shouldn't. They shouldn't take a commanding position in our life. But, I mean, it's common to us. Elijah had that problem. You know, after he killed all those prophets on Mount Carmel, and Jezebel said, same thing happened to me. If I don't do it to you, you're going to die. And he took off running. You remember Mac always tell that. That story was great. And his humor that God has, Mac would reveal to us. And he ran and he stopped by that river. And I can't remember, a Cherith or something like that. And kind of fell asleep, woke up. Angel was there and he cooked him a little meal and got him a little drink. And he said, you better eat again because you got a long way to go. And cooked him another meal, and he ate, and he got all that strength. And he took off, and he ran all the way down to Mount Horeb. And, yeah, it's down to the Sinai Peninsula, all the way down, right down there, 40 days. And you know what he said when he got down there? You know, Mac would always tell us that God said to him, "What are you doing? Where are you going?" And you go, "I don't know, you're the one who sent me down here. You mean you don't?" And that was the humor that God had in that. But you know what Elijah said? He said, "I want to die." He said, "I want to die." He said, "There's no one left in Israel. I am the only one. And, you know, this queen's after me. Just might as well go ahead. I want to die. Kill me and get rid of me." That's that our humanity that we experience. But, you know, do you remember what the lady said, an African queen? I forgot, Rosie. She said, you remember Mr. Ortner was drinking all that whiskey and she poured it out the next day and he had that headache. And he said, "You know, you shouldn't have done that." And she said, "Why?" He said, "Because a man always likes a little nip of the dog that bit him the day after." He said, "That's just human nature." You remember what she said? She said, "That's what God has put us in this world to rise above." And there's a glory in that. Even though that humanity of us of ours comes out. Yeah, I don't think it's that uncommon. I mean, you know, our Lord, when He was here, He felt the pressure of that humanity. He said, "If it's possible, what? Let this what? This cup pass from me. But not my will. Thy will be done." The purpose of God in your life. What is your purpose for 2006? What is your focus? Okay, I want to go over to first. I want to go to 2 Corinthians. I got sidetracked there. 2 Corinthians chapter, I think it's 4. Yeah, chapter 4. Let me stay with this humanity aspect again, because I want you to see that God has provided for this. In chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. "For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the presence of Christ in our life." You know that? Do you enjoy that every day? Do you experience that, or do you get frustrated? Do you sometimes feel defeated? Well, let's read on. He says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed." Do you ever get distressed? Do you ever get disappointed? Do you have dismay in your life? Are you forgetting to rejoice in all things? He says, "We are troubled on every side." It could be a husband, it could be a wife, it could be a son, it could be a daughter, it could be a mother, it could be a father, it could be a job, it could be a neighbor, it could be a car. I know people who had, I mean, they're distressed about their car. Clunker. Old clunker. It's just, you know. And you're not going to avoid that. If our Lord couldn't avoid it when He was here in the flesh, what makes us think that we can? But look at what He's provided. Paul says in verse 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." Why? Verse 7. "We have this treasure in this earthen vessel." We have the presence of the living Christ. That song, "He Lives." I mean, it's true. He goes on, he says, "We are perplexed." We are perplexed. I've been there. I mean, you know, and you've been there. And it's graduated. You know, some of this stuff is on one level, and then sometimes it's on another level. You know, perplexed about what am I going to buy her or him for Christmas. Yeah, on a scale 1 to 10, 10 being very significant and 0 being insignificant, this is probably going to register in the negatives. But it is a perplexing situation. But he goes on in verse 9, persecuted. Persecuted. We who hold true to the truth that has been revealed by right division, we face that sometimes. We who hold to the truth of the living God, we face that sometimes. We who hold true to His truth about life being precious, even here in America, we are persecuted sometimes. But not just persecuted. Though persecuted, but not what? Not forsaken. God hadn't abandoned us. God hadn't forsaken us for one moment in one situation, no matter what it may be. And sometimes we feel cast down, but guess what? Not destroyed. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. What is your purpose? Romans 12:2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the things that are minor and the things that are of the flesh and the things that are of the world become so commanding in our life that we forget the real purpose that God has for us. The real purpose. Back over in Romans chapter 8. We're very familiar with verse 28. But verse 29 is what I want to look at. For whom he did foreknow, that's you, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Conformed to the image of his Son. It's in that process that we begin to show the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We begin to manifest His eternal purpose. And that purpose is for us to please Him. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. Thou hast created all things, and all things are created for Thy pleasure. That's us too. We, when we begin this year, need to keep in mind that He's not interested in time. He inhabits eternity. We're interested in time, and that's usually because we want to do something. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about sticking your head in the sand. I've been accused of that before and just playing the ostrich. No, you are. God has given you, remember, in the beginning, a gift. And that is to eat. It is to drink. It is to labor. These are the things that He has blessed us with. This is life. This is life that the other things that He has created don't experience like we experience them, because we experience them in a way that is familiar to Him, because we're created in His image. We are, though, to wait on Him. Timing is much more important to Him than time. And so as you go through 2006, your charge, your encouragement, is to focus on what His purpose is for your life by waiting on Him. Enjoy the blessings He brings. And He does. He brings the blessings of love and liberty and life. And they come in a myriad of ways. And you've all enjoyed them over this holiday tremendously. You've enjoyed some other perplexing times, maybe some disappointment, but you've also enjoyed the joy of Him. I don't need to go into how He's done that. I don't know from your point of view, and you'll get bored listening to mine. Unless I can find some way to entertain it, make it entertaining. An old guy, I heard the story this week, was on a ship, and they were out in the sea. It was a dark and stormy night. You've heard this. All stories, you know, a dark and stormy night. And a fellow went up to the captain and he said, Captain, are we going down? And the waves were high and beating against the boat, and the wind was blowing and the rain was falling hard. And the captain looked at him and he said, well, this old boat is an old boat and it's pretty crickety. And it's got a lot of problems and it may go down. And he said, those boilers inside are pretty old, and they may not hold up, and we may put too much of strain on them, and they may blow, and we may go up. But whether we go down or we go up, right now, we're going on. keep going on. Let's pray. Father, we have great needs at times that so we think we're alone and you've abandoned us or forsaken us, but we go back to the beginning. Back to the beginning. Sometimes we need to do that. And we need to go back to basics and remember that in the beginning, you began this. You just didn't do it out of a whim. You did it for a purpose. And our lives are to be part of that purpose. And that purpose is to please you in all that we do. Sometimes we look at what we did, and that kind of neutralizes us, throws us off track. It's all that we do. May we look forward from this moment to eternity with you, to please you in all that we do, that you might get the glory and the honor you deserve. And we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.